What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
From the OWC studios, OWC Digital, your source for connecting your laptop to the world. Check out owcdigital.com/into. For special Into Tomorrow products and pricing, that's owcdigital.com/into. I am Dave Graveline. This is Into Tomorrow.
I'm Beth Gatrell.
I'm Chris Graveline.
Erosmo in the control room. Joe working with the show out of Atlanta and H out of New York. And just, we're all here to help you with your digital dilemmas, whatever they might be.
And did you mention the weekend of December 21st?
I did not yet. So thank you for reminding me that this is the weekend of December 21st, 2018, the last shopping weekend before Santa comes.
Which means next weekend will be the first return weekend.
That's also, oh gosh, that's a good point. Yeah. I hate to be in retail these days.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No, before or after Christmas, it's got to be just nuts. And, of course, yeah, returns on the 26th, 7th, and 8th, and all through the next weekend. But then hopefully things settle down a bit, and you've got New Year's. And then right after that, we go to Lost Wages, Nevada again, as we launch our 24th year on the air, bringing you Into Tomorrow at some little consumer show.
Showstoppers.
Yeah, yeah, Pepcom, those things. Oh, and then there's something going on in the Vegas Convention Center. We'll probably pop in.
The American version of IFA.
That's very true. It is. It's the touche. It's the U.S. version of IFA that that we'll be doing our broadcast from. Ed, you don't want to miss that because lots of cool new things are introduced, most of which never even make it to market. But we cover as much as we possibly can. Well, maybe not most of which. A lot does. But on average, about 20 to 25,000 products a year that are introduced at the Consumer Electronics Show never see the light of day. But they're there, and they're trying to get us media folks and analysts and buyers interested. And if they don't have any interest, well, then it just doesn't happen. It may not go to crowdfunding. It may not go to further financial support or to a factory or otherwise. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, you know, and the same is true of many of these trade shows. We recently ran sort of a best of program where we were doing some of the best interviews that we thought we had at IFA, which was just a few months ago. And
yeah,
at the last minute, we had to switch out one of the interviews because we didn't realize that one of the companies that had a product that we thought was really cool just within the matter of a month or two, had gone out of business.
Yes.
Well, it is Vegas. Some products that introduced there stay there.
Well, that's what they say. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Sometimes that's even true of the products.
Yep. Or in this case, Berlin. Because, you know, a thing that we interviewed and was very cool, just apparently they just didn't get the finishing of the funding that they were hoping for. And they just shut it down, and what a shame.
You know, and it's funny because I came across another journalist article recently about what happened to the best products of CES 2017 or 2018. Yeah. Now that we're at the end of the year, and half the products that they listed never even made it. And a lot of them were things that I saw there, and I thought, well, this is a really cool product.
True.
Apparently I was the only one that thought that.
Yes, exactly. Or just not enough other people. Or it may have been, and we've seen this happen too, really great stuff, and they just can't get funding. Because it costs a lot of money to actually manufacture some of these things. Prototypes are amazing, and they look great. Or if they eventually come out, it might still be 2 or 3 years. That's why you hear me on the air all the time when people say, oh, yeah, available summer. I said, of this year? You know, like this next summer? Well, we're hoping. Okay, so that could mean 2 summers from now or, you know, next fall, whatever the case. You just never know. But that's kind of the nature of this beast we call consumer tech. And some things come out. Some things are pretty cool. Like you want one of those one-person cars that we talked about on the show last hour. If you missed that, you certainly need to check that out. There's all kinds of cool things happening. I'm still looking, though, for a working VCR. So the only thing I've asked Chris for Christmas is my skydive video that his son Cameron, 6-year-old Cameron, is dying to see. He's seen still pictures, but I keep telling him, well, there is a video. I know.
If you come to Naples, I may have one.
Why don't you bring it over on Christmas at Chris's house? Oh, please.
Nope.
It's for your dear old dad.
It's hardwired into my wall. Yeah.
Because, of course, you know, these VCRs that used to cost, you know, $20, you know, now that the last company that made them, when you know, stopped making them, the new ones that I've seen on Amazon are like $900 now.
It's ridiculous.
I have my grandmother's old VCR DVD player. The DVD part doesn't work, but the VCR does.
But the VCR does. That's all I need. And it's only like a, 15-minute piece. He's going to convert it to digital. Boom, done. You can take the DVR back the same day. So we didn't think to ask Beth to bring one over from her house in Naples. I wonder if Orosmo has a VCR.
Because we knew what she was going to say. No. She wouldn't bring it over. We'd have to go over there.
Yeah, holding it hostage.
Come on. It's all I want for Christmas.
Exactly. Come on.
So good. So good to get. So hard to get good kids anymore. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Oh, did I mention it's tech news and commentary?
Yeah.
And then we'll get back to more of your calls. So what have you got for us?
What have we got? Well, I have seen an article about trying to improve voice texting. And I know you love to speak to your electronics.
That's the only way I text. I dictate almost everything.
I find that when I voice text, I have to go back and correct a few things.
Well, that's because you are not speaking clearly.
I think I speak very clearly. And they should be able to understand me. So
they.
I don't know. That voice texting.
The little minions in your phone.
The little people that are inside my phone typing out what I say. They should understand me better. And they don't. So I'm not too keen on the voice texting. How about you, Chris? Do you use voice texting?
I hate it.
You hate it?
I use it, but like Beth, I have to go back and fix. You know, and with the iPhone, every time I say I, like, you know, I'm going to go to the store, it always comes out A-R-E. No matter how clearly I try to say I.
Uh-huh. I have the same problem.
You know, it comes out as R?
Yes. And I'm like, I'm not a pirate.
I mean, every once in a while, it does provide some comedic relief to see what the voice text thinks we said, but it is rather annoying because, you know, you're trying to voice, you could hurry up, and then you end up wasting more time.
Last week, I think I was dictating a text to you, and I think it came out with, you know, like the F word and other obscenities. I'm like, I never said that.
Exactly. I have found that, too.
Before he hit send, though, he did share with me that he checked and fixed it because he didn't want to be sending me nasty words. But I sent him a text last week about something. I don't remember what it was, Christmas decorations or something. And the first, like, two whole sentences made no sense at all. And that doesn't usually happen to me, to be honest. I usually get it out. I have occasional things like where I'm trying to say he, it'll say she, or close words, maybe.
Yeah, some of mine get totally off.
So here's the text I get from Mr. Tech Guy over here.
Uh-oh.
Adora by myself, tornado, very hard, long way, got to turn left. That's right, left, I'll do it, and shoot if you can bring the Ring cameras.
That was the one that I sent you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see.
See what I mean?
Clearly, I did not read it before hitting send because I trusted my device. But in fairness, I was on Fausto's Wi-Fi, and it's really slow and bad and, you know, goofy. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't home or in the studio or whatever. So I blame his Wi-Fi for changing all my words. Plus, he speaks Spanish. So there you go. There was the problem. It was trying to translate, and it couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, listeners? What do you think?
I thought it was only a sentence or two. That made absolutely no sense, except the last three words. Bring the Ring camera. Four words. Bring the Ring camera. Oh, my gosh.
You should keep track of these. Maybe write a book.
Virtual reality arcades were supposed to be one of the first most convenient ways that expensive VR headgear would reach the masses, but IMAX, the highest profile provider of VR arcades, has decided to throw in the towel. The large format cinema company has officially announced that it would be shutting down its last three locations in Los Angeles, Bangkok, and Toronto early next year, and is writing off its VR business as well. Virtual reality hasn't had quite the introduction that enthusiasts and investors had hoped for, and a number of companies have been scaling back their ambitions. VR film company Jaunt switched over to augmented reality in October. Microsoft backed away from its promises to bring VR to the Xbox in June, and camera maker Lytro shut down in March. IMAX canceled a VR camera project with Google in August and shut down its other four arcades earlier this year.
Now, if you're a regular listener of Into Tomorrow, we've been saying this for years. You know, VR has some places. If you're into gaming, it might be handy. But at some point, it's like, okay, it's just I'm not seeing it regularly. You know, it just doesn't happen. And those were classic examples of why. People just aren't that interested.
They tried bringing VR in like the late 80s, early 90s, and it didn't catch on then.
Yeah, exactly. They thought, well, it was before its time. Well, it's still not time then, because with rare exceptions, it's just not happening. I see it in the medical field being very helpful for students and things. You know, go through an entire operation virtually and then go perform it, so you have various things that occur and you can react to them and so forth. And some gaming, perhaps. Beyond that, no, but I mean, some furniture stores are trying to have you use VR to outfit your home. It's, you know, it just isn't happening. Yeah. Just isn't there.
Now, I do see how it could be helpful in, like, the classroom, you know, in schools. Yeah. It could be very helpful there.
Travel the world that way and so forth, but it's also, it's just easier to show a DVD.
Yeah.
Don't you have like a Facebook weird story as well? More Facebook trouble?
I have some weird Facebook data sharing business partnerships.
Not like they wouldn't have done something weird again, would they have?
Well, according to the New York Times, they've talked about how Facebook shared and traded user data with more than 150 companies, including Amazon, Microsoft, Netflix, Spotify, Yahoo, and even a Russian search engine, Yandex.
Collusion.
Fake news.
Watch out. Through this data sharing partnership, companies were allowed to see and delete users' private messages, view and contact their friends, as well as other things they were doing within the user's account without their consent.
Yeah, mind you, they were seeing private messages.
Exactly. Part of the reason why I tell all the kids, even when they're using their Snapchat, because it all disappears, nothing ever disappears.
Yep. It's stored somewhere. It's just not on your phone or your friend's phone, but it's there. And then you want to go after a dream job at some point, and information can be retrieved. And, oh, like, there you were, underage drinking or this or that, whatever.
And they think, what? I only send that in a Snapchat video. Well, guess what?
Yeah. Things happen, and people can save those in various ways and share them with the wrong people, and then you're in trouble.
Exactly.
Got to be thinking about these things and take some responsibility. If you happen to be following the T-Mobile-Sprint merger, T-Mobile is close to receiving approval from the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. regarding the company's takeover of Sprint. The carriers will still need approval from the Justice Department and the Federal Communications Commission for the deal to be finalized, but at the moment, that appears likely. So who knows? I know the Communication Workers of America Union is against it, of course, because when you consolidate, you're going to end up losing some people where there's duplication. That's just life. And that's unfortunately where we talk about tech being rather invasive and disruptive and so forth. Those things happen.
According to a new report from caller ID service Truecaller, spam calls grew by 300% worldwide this year.
I thought it was just my phone.
Yeah. But while the scourge continues to grow overall, some countries actually saw a slight decline, including the U.S. The United States fell from the second most spammed country to the eighth in 1 year. Truecaller users received about 17 calls per month, down from 21 in 2017. The bulk of calls purported to be about insurance or debt collection, according to the report. And while no reason was given for the drop, authorities have increasingly tried to crack down on illegal callers. The Federal Trade Commission has brought several lawsuits, while the Federal Communications Commission has considered various regulations to deal with the issue, and in one case, slapped a robocaller with an $82 million fine.
$82 million? Wow. Now, that must suggest that they were making a lot of money to begin with to even get that kind of fine. That's not just, we'll show you and the company had a net worth of $100. You know, that's not going to happen.
Crazy.
Of course, you know, and you'll notice because these things are all written by the lawmakers that the only people that are exempt from these robocall regulations are the lawmakers.
Yeah.
And those trying to get elected.
That's right.
I just don't answer my phone.
You can, ever.
Ever.
I know. I keep trying to call her and nope, don't answer.
I send a bird.
Yeah.
Well, luckily with the
carrier pigeon.
Luckily with the iPhone, I can go into do not disturb mode and say and tell it to only accept calls from people in my contacts list. So if somebody calls me from a number I don't know, it won't even ring.
That's how you avoid those collection calls.
Yeah.
Very good. French startup Tempow is developing improvements of the Bluetooth protocol to allow manufacturers to pair single devices with multiple speakers via its true wireless Bluetooth profile. The Bluetooth limit has hampered the development of wireless earbuds, and Tempow's innovation could be a solution. So we'll try to stay on that for you. We've talked on the show before about how folks want to do more than one thing connecting their Bluetooth, and it doesn't always work so well. So we'll see how this develops, and we'll try to stay on top of it for you.
Here's a story about a trashy video game, literally. Don't know if your garbage should go in the recycling bin, compost heap, or good old-fashioned dump. Well, a team of researchers from the University of British Columbia has figured out how to teach us which bin to throw away our used items, a video game. The game's called Sort It Out, and it's a very simple online game that immediately informs users if they've, say, incorrectly thrown their moldy bread in the garbage. That goes in compost. Duh. The game gives you four options: food scraps, recyclable containers, paper, and garbage. Then it presents you with different types of waste: a plastic bag, broken glass, or envelopes. You click where it should go, and if you get it right, you're simply met with a green correct. Otherwise, the game tells you that you're wrong in big red letters while also letting you know where it's supposed to go.
Interesting. Well, there you go. Help save the earth. Go hug a tree and all of that. Gordon in Westland, Michigan, listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast. Hey, Gordon.
Okay, I have some old tech stuff like pagers, beepers, cell phones. I want to recycle them. I do not want to throw them in the trash. Who can I give them to or sell them to? Or whatever, to get rid of them, that they will not go in the trash bin, fill up the landfills.
How appropriate after your last tech news story. There you go. Well, Gordon, you really have two main options for getting rid of your e-waste, at least the kind that you can't sell to a reseller, like Gazelle, for example. We had them on the show last week. And that's something to look into, and then you can make a few bucks on some of these old phones.
Yeah, you can take it to a business that'll take it off your hands and likely sell it afterwards. Best Buy provides that service for free. Staples does too, but you may want to check to make sure your location will take your items. Normally, the process amounts to little more than driving there and dumping your old tech into a bin, but not all stores are the same, so checking first may save you a trip. Now, your other option is to take them to a recycling center or event. Livonia seems to hold an e-waste recycling event, and they're just up the road from Westland. Now, Westland itself, at very least, used to take e-waste as part of their household hazardous waste pickup, but you may want to check that that's still the case, because our research team said that the mention that they found was from 2015.
Mm-hmm. Gordon, I hope that helped you out, and thank you for the call. Very good question, and we're happy to address it. IntoTomorrow.com.
Think you're stuck with slow internet because of where you live? Think again. Do what we did and order HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet delivers the speed you need with the data you want and is available where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you too. Text RADIO to 35000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35000. HughesNet, high-speed internet available where you live or work.
From Into Tomorrow. Now here's Dave.
Thank you, Cameron. Boy, does he know Santa is coming. And we hope that Santa brings you all of the tech gifts you wish for. I used to say you deserve, but come on, we don't all deserve everything we want. But at least all the ones you wish for. And don't forget to buy one for yourself and one to give as a gift, whatever the case might be.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by Portable North Pole. Create personalized messages from Santa and share the magic today. Check out PortableNorthPole.com.
There you go. Check out PortableNorthPole.com. There's very cool stuff there you want to take advantage of.
It's time for our Evo History Major. IFA is one of the largest and oldest tech shows in the world. With this week's look back at IFA's historic past,
here's Chris Graveline.
To bring color to the TV, new technologies had to be invented. The German Werner Fleschig got a first patent for a stripe mask in 1938, separating red, green, and blue with filters. That was the basis for color tubes, but it came too early. 9 years later, in 1947, after World War II, RCA developed a first prototype with such a shadow mask. The screen was no bigger than a postcard. In 1954, finally, the market started in the United States with a round tube about 22 inches. BBC in the UK and Russian television began trials with color television. IFA was, of course, the showcase for these innovations as well. That's this week's IFA update brought to you by Messe Berlin. Be sure to visit ifa-berlin.com.
Very cool. And, of course, this will be, I believe, 2019 will be our 17th year broadcasting from IFA. Because I was using fuzzy German math last time, and I thought last year was, but that was our 16th year.
Correct.
Yeah, because we were in our new broadcast booth location on our 15th year. They brought a cake and everything. That's how we confirmed it. Anyway, intotomorrow.com for all 3 hours of the show. We hope to meet you there.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation? Drops in the dollar's value? Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Hi, Into Tomorrow listeners, this is Age, and in case you are wondering what we want for Christmas, we'd like some phone calls.
Wonder why regularly programmed TV faded so quickly in favor of OTT, over-the-top viewing, and why tablets and smartphones so quickly became the viewing tools of choice? Well, if you've got any questions about anything involving items like that, well, we at Into Tomorrow are here to help. Among other things, anything involving any kind of consumer technology, products, services, gadgets, gizmos, whatever the case, available today and into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for joining us on the program. Participating on the program is awesome, and we love to hear from you, so please allow us to do that. If you've never joined us on the show, or if it's been a while, what are you waiting for? We've got more fabulous prizes, a lot of cool things provided by our guests and sponsors and other friends of the show that are typically sending us neat things to share with you. And all you need to do is participate. So you can either call 1-800-899-INTO anytime 24/7, or even better, use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. Our next guest joins us to tell us how they create 3D human computing interaction software. We'll figure out what exactly that means, and hardware as well, for augmented and virtual reality experiences. It sounds like a lot of fun, and we're going to talk to the Corporate Director for Business Development, Marketing, and Sales with USENS Incorporated, Mark T. Morrison. Mark, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
Hey, great. Thanks for having us, Dave. Really happy to be here.
It's a pleasure. When we find things that say stuff like you ignite imagination, it's like, oh, got to have them on the show. We got to find out what this is all about. And, of course, you know, these days, even though we've been talking about it, since the 90s, virtual reality and augmented reality, they're certainly finally becoming more, I don't know if we can say commonplace quite yet, but certainly more active in many people's minds and in use. So tell us a little bit about what you guys do at USENS, first of all, and then we'll get into specifics.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, a real quick intro. We are still a startup. We started back in 2013. We're based in Silicon Valley. We are a technology company. As you mentioned, our focus is human-computer interaction. Human-computer interaction is quite easy to understand in terms of how we look at it. And we'll use the acronym moving forward, HCI, for human-computer interaction.
Cool.
So we look at the keyboard and the mouse as revolutionizing how we interacted with computers quite a ways back, decades ago. Moving into closer to today, we have smartphones, and we feel like the touchscreen was similar to affecting somewhat of a revolution for human-computer interaction for humans to interact with their phones interactively. So now we're looking at VR and AR, and a few years ago, our CTO and CEO and COO, co-founders, decided that there would be a need for a lot more interactivity in what we saw in augmented and virtual reality. They're both new mediums. A lot of people know what they are already. If not, it's very easy to go online and see a lot of news about VR. AR is coming up behind VR a little bit. But currently, we're working on technology. As you mentioned, we're a software company. We also build a piece of hardware called the Impression Pi. So what we're releasing to the marketplace is the ability for the consumers and users, apps and game players, to effectively use their hands and control their interactive experiences. Now, the best example of this, if we go back in time, some people saw the movie Minority Report. Many have seen the Avengers and Dr. Stark using his hands virtually. We're actually bringing software technology and hardware technology to the marketplace for virtual reality currently that allows players and app users to look at their hands through a set of cameras on the device that's on their head, the head-mounted display or virtual reality device, to take in the data of what your hands are doing in front of you. So let's say you're controlling a switchboard or you're virtually learning how to cook with virtual knives in a virtual kitchen.
Wow.
You can actually use your hands to affect that experience in real time.
So you would then be holding, for example, a virtual knife and cutting into a turkey or something? Or
Correct.
Wow.
If you wanted to learn a recipe, rather than just read the recipe on a 2D screen, you could pull up your Oculus or your Gear VR or your Google Cardboard, and you could use our technology, which does include some inputs. So we do require some camera inputs coming in through a mobile phone, which is actually where we're targeting the biggest mass adoption of VR is for mobile. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that there's so many mobile phones out there already that people are used to using. We're simply adding new features with the technology that's coming out. So we're not inventing everything, but we're solving a problem that seems pretty significant for people wanting to have a very natural, immersive experience with their hands.
That's awesome. I mean, I can see such incredible potential of certainly game playing, obviously. But as you mentioned, too, the ability to learn something, the ability to, in this case, virtually cook a full recipe so that you can then do it in real life and have some confidence about what all's involved. I mean, it seems like it runs the gamut and then some about the kinds of use for what you're talking about here.
It really does, Dave. And so part of the inspiration for our co-founding team, specifically our CEO, Anli He, was that she had a discussion long ago with her father, who wanted to visit the moon. And come to today, we have virtual reality. In a sense, it's as simple as that. It's the virtual reality we want to be in, but we can't. So for those of us, like you and I, who are on the Earth, we can't be on the moon, but maybe we'd like to go. You could also effectively use our technology to take yourself places in virtual experiences that allow you to be an astronaut on the moon or be a deep sea diver under the sea. I've got a young child who loves an application that takes her underwater. Wow. She knows the ocean. She's been to the beach, but it will be years before she can go into the ocean. So this allows her to actually go into the ocean, experience virtually what it might feel like.
It sounds like the closest thing yet to the holodeck from Star Trek years ago. And those who have seen that and understand how, you know, they weren't wearing any headsets or anything, but, you know, we'll get there one day. But it sounds like you're allowing those kinds of experiences to be able to be in an environment all through the virtual reality.
It's exactly like that, Dave. And we're one piece of the technology factor. There's many people, as we see in the news, Google, Facebook, and, you know, you talk about the technology being as far back as 90s. In fact, it is 20 to 30 years old in terms of what we're actually able to use for the software and the hardware, but now we've got bigger companies getting behind it, bringing it to the consumers in a way that we'll really feel is, again, a natural kind of compelling opportunity to play a game, as you said, or you know, visit places that I was talking about in the virtual reality.
Now, this particular device, as you mentioned, you would attach your device to an existing VR headset, like you mentioned, the Gear VR from Samsung or any other of those devices, even cardboard, apparently. But you would attach it to that, and it sort of adds to it? Or how does that work? Or do you strap your device onto your head?
That's a great question. Thanks for allowing me to explain that. We actually are looking at a number of different use cases. We realize there is a very popular uprising of Android users who are taking advantage of a cheap head-mounted display from Google Cardboard, as well as those peering up into higher-end what we would call tethered experiences. Tethered experiences are the wired systems like Sony PSVR, the HTC Vive, or the Oculus Rift. So what we're looking at is the ability to release a few different products. One will be an all-inclusive, mobile, untethered wireless device called the Impression Pi that allows you to put either your mobile phone in, or we have a model that won't require a phone. So we'll have solutions that you can actually use right out of the box. We'll also have some accessories and peripherals that can connect directly to existing HMDs. And right now we're going through the string of partnership opportunities to try and support as many systems in the world as we can. So we plan to support Android, iOS systems, eventually Windows Mobile, and again, any new emerging systems that come up, we'll try to support those as well.
How do you explain to people the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality? Because we were kicking around, Mark, with a whole bunch of VR and AR, and some people say, well, God, aren't they sort of the same?
You know, that is such an interesting question because there are a couple of different answers, and all of them could be correct. Our opinion in what we look at the marketplace and also looking back at the technology is augmented reality is quite simply the ability to mix existing data. Let's say, for instance, you have a game, and that game has to do with activities where you're doing a scavenger hunt and you are in rooms or you are doing missions that are what we would call linear missions from beginning to end. And adding augmented reality means you're adding computer vision. So you're adding what we would consider physically cameras to look at the real world, look at your surroundings. Sometimes it includes using something we call SLAM, Synchronized Location Area Mapping Technology, or the GPS, to figure out where you are in the real world. So you're working in a game that's virtual. The game maker expects you to be in this world fighting or finding things or solving puzzles. All of a sudden, we open the camera to the real world and the GPS, and aha, we know where you're at. So now you can take this game out into a park or out into an environment that wasn't predefined in the game as existing data. So you're mixing new data with old data or existing data. And what happens in augmented reality is it augments the world around you while still allowing you to be in reality. And that's really what augmented reality is. Virtual reality, stepping back a little bit, is that existing data, that game that the game maker has made and puts you in, and now you're able to actually see it from a first person or a vantage point view that puts you in the middle of the virtual world. So you're no longer watching it through a two-dimensional TV or a flat screen.
Yeah.
Virtual reality actually puts you in this 3D environment where you look around 360, and in fact, you are in the middle of the action.
I love it. And I love how the Immersion Pi device has cameras built in, so you're not walking into that tree at the park as you're wandering and engaging and being immersive. I think that's awesome. Real quick, because we're flat out of time, but Mark, availability, and do you have a price set yet for this device?
Yes, the price range will be between $300 to $600 USD.
Awesome. Well, we invite everyone to visit usenseinc.com. Thanks very much, Mark, for joining us.
Thank you. Can't wait to be into tomorrow with you guys, Dave. So happy. Thank you.
Love it. And I love it when a guest incorporates the show name. He's very good at what he's doing there. Corporate Director of Business Development, Marketing, and Sales. Yeah, he knows it. Yeah, exactly. USenseInc.com. We'll get you there. Visit us at intotomorrow.com. I'm Dave Graveline. We continue right here on the Advanced Media Network.
This This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-428-1570. 800-428-1570. 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570.
As you relish all your tech goodies, decorate every nook and cranny of your home, and enjoy all the get-togethers, may the joy and festivities continue to radiate in your lives long after the holidays are gone. Hi, I'm Dave Graveline, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a most Happy New Year. Now, let's head back into tomorrow.
With me. Thank you, me. I appreciate that. And of course, all of us wish you the best of the holiday season. Hopefully, Santa brings you everything you asked for, at least most of it. And a very happy new year to Merry Christmas on this last weekend before Christmas.
And that was a nice little rejoin. So if the radio job doesn't work out, you can always write Hallmark cards.
Yeah, that's probably where I got it. I was thinking, wow, you guys are having fun with it, and I'm being so formal and best wishes and all. And it's like, you know, I could just have fun with it, too. That's what I should do next time.
There you go.
Yeah. Next time I'm going to have more fun with it.
But you have fun. Anytime somebody sticks a microphone in front of your face, you have fun.
I beg your pardon.
That's why you said that if you ever ever retired, you'd have to go get a part-time job at McDonald's or something so at least you could have a microphone still talking to.
Yeah. You want fries with that? I got to have a mic. Otherwise, not for singing because I'm not a singer or a singer. But I can speak out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But we have more gifts to share, right? Yes, some tech gifts ideas.
Horatio has another item that he likes. It's the Greater Goods Nutrition Facts Food Scale.
Whoa.
He says it'll weigh your food like a regular digital scale, but will also display nutritional information on its built-in screen. It's available for $40 on Amazon.
Oh, very cool.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it sounds like something that could be useful for a lot of folk.
Except it'll remind me how bad the food is that I eat.
That's true. Well, just looking at the nutrition facts on every label can remind you of that.
That's why I don't look at them.
Well, that solves that problem, doesn't it?
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by OWC Digital, providing super fast SSDs for photographers and videographers. Get special products and pricing for Into Tomorrow listeners at owcdigital.com/into. That's owcdigital.com/into.
That's right. It's OWC and videographers.
Well, that's what she said, isn't it?
She's OWC and videographers.
What, am I in English class here or what?
Well, when you talk on the radio, you think you have to talk good.
Yeah, you got to talk good.
I thought we was in Miami.
Well, we is. I mean, we are. What do you got me saying that for? Oh, my gosh. Let's go to a call maybe to save the day. John in Rockland, California also listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast that I'm sure everyone listening signs up for. Did I mention no charge? At intotomorrow.com. Hey, John.
We bought my youngest son an Asus computer. It's an E402MA with a 2.1 gigahertz Celeron processor and a hard drive that's barely big enough to house Windows 10. We're trying to do security updates on it, but it needs to have 6 gigabytes free, and the best I can get is just under 2 gigabytes.
Oh.
He doesn't store any files in this computer, no pictures, no audio, no video, nothing. I've cleaned off all the temp files, and that's the best I can get is just under 2 gigabytes of free space. How do we update this thing? Is there some way to do it remotely or do it through a USB thumb drive somehow? I'm trying to figure this out, and it's driving me a little batty.
Well, we can understand that, John, by all means. But unfortunately, like you found out, both Windows and its updates are huge these days. Luckily, though, you can use an external drive, just like you were hoping to do. But unfortunately, it won't be as easy as just plugging it in. You'll first have to go to Microsoft.com and download what the company calls the Media Creation Tool, and then select the option to create installation media for another PC. That will allow you to download a Windows installer, and when you run it, it will allow you to keep your old files and folders. Don't worry, we're going to have all this information on the show doc for this week.
Yeah, and it's not as simple as installing an update the regular way, though. And it's a little more unnerving since you have to trust an installer that gives you the option to keep your files, implying that it can delete them.
Yeah.
Longer term, you may be better off considering a hard drive upgrade. There are laptops in the family of the one that you bought for your son that have hard drives as large as a terabyte. And hard drives between that and what you have now can be fairly affordable.
And just keep in mind, it's all there for you at Intutomorrow.com. Look for the show for the weekend of 12/21. You'll see more notes.
Ed Volko, Steve Spurrier here, and I know just how stressful it can be when time is tight and you need points on the board. Well, just like my fun and gun offense, AmeriFactors is a fast-moving game winner when it's fourth down and your business can't afford a funding fumble. Providing up to 98% of receivables in as little as 24 hours, your business can get the cash flow it needs to make payroll, hire new talent, or purchase equipment faster than ever. Best of all, funds come directly from your unpaid invoices, so there's absolutely nothing to pay back. And if your clients don't pay, AmeriFactors is your defensive line taking the hit. With over 29 years of successfully funding businesses, you know AmeriFactors is a name you can trust to score big and score fast.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
The holidays are upon us. Hope you've stayed on Santa's nice list. Hi, this is Chris Graveline wishing you and your family the happiest of holidays and a very Merry Christmas. Now let's head further into tomorrow.
On this last weekend before Santa comes, you're tuned into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Beth Gatrell.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by Dexcom, accurate glucose readings for people with diabetes. Visit Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
'Twas the night before broadcast, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except Chris's mouse. The calls he lined up for broadcast with care, for soon your tech questions would be heard on the air. Erasmo was nestled all snug in his bed, with Sennheiser earphones glued to his head. When on my radio, cutting through senseless chatter, I heard Dave Graveline get right to the matter. On cell phones and TVs, on Macs and on Linux, on audio and Windows, please, Microsoft, fix it. And I heard Brian exclaim, with the theme blasting bright, there's more show just ahead, so tech lovers, sit tight.
And, of course, we will be back with you after Christmas. All right, a little too much eggnog. Thank you, Joe. He's absolutely right, because we wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and happy holidays, the happiest of New Year's. We'll be, of course, back on the program next week with a new show answering your tech questions, so do join us. And meantime, a very
Merry Christmas.
Bringing you the latest in consumer electronics and technology, this has been Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. To participate with Dave and his tech geniuses and win prizes anytime 24/7, use our free Into Tomorrow app for your iPhone, Android, and netbooks, available in your App Store, or call 1-800-899-INTO. That's 1-800-899-4686. Be sure to visit our website anytime to read our show notes and watch our ITTV videos at intotomorrow.com. And join us next week as we bring you further Into Tomorrow.